You are listening to a talk given at the Brisbane City Bible Forum. We hope you enjoy the presentation.
Well, good morning and welcome to our coffee and croissant morning. Thanks for getting out of bed early, well done. And yeah, particularly welcome if this is the first time you've come. I think we've got a few people here that haven't been before, so it's great to have new faces. Hope people have been friendly. I'm Gemma, I should introduce myself. I work for the City Bible Forum. I'm going to share with us from a story in John shortly. But before we do, I thought, our topic this morning is what is it you long for? So you can tell the person next to you, when you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that you long for?
Well, yes.
I overheard a few people saying sleep, and for me, apart from the desire to go back to sleep, when I wake up in the morning, I long for my coffee. You see, I love coffee, but not just any coffee, it needs to be good coffee.
Yes.
So when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is go and turn on my coffee machine. After my shower, I take the time to grind the beans that were freshly roasted, of course. And I watch the shot slowly pour out, and it smells amazing. And I can't wait for that first sip. See, I long for my morning coffee. But as amazing and good as coffee is, it's pretty trivial. Last month, I had holidays in Darwin. It was fantastic. It was good to stop, rest, enjoy the outdoors and the company of good friends. In the weeks leading up to that, I couldn't wait for the moment to turn off my emails, Facebook, WhatsApp, and all the other crazy communication tools that are constantly reminding me of things that need to happen. I couldn't wait for everything just to stop. I was longing for a rest. What else do we want? It's quiet weekends, more time in our week, warmer weather, a better boss, better colleagues? What about deeper friendships? Or a partner? Maybe children? There's many different things that we long for. But I think one thing we all long for is love and acceptance. See, from when we're kids, we long for the love of our parents, so we seek to please them most of the time. We long for friends at school, so particularly as teenagers, we give in to peer pressure so our friends will love and accept us. What about in the office? We want people to accept us there too, to respect us. So we think about how we dress, how we act in front of the boss, how we act around our tables, our desks, or in the lunchroom. We watch what we say so we don't offend anyone. It's all about being accepted. And then we seek to find the one who will love and accept us for exactly who we are. We want someone we can love and someone who will love us forever. But do these longings ever really get satisfied? I had an amazing holiday, but give me a few more months and I'll be ready for the next one. Just like I'll be longing for another coffee in an hour or so or maybe sooner. What if it's a better boss I long for? How long till I see the new boss's faults or feel that he sees too many of mine? What about the desire for a partner or children? Those of you who have partners and children, are they all you ever dreamed they'd be? Do they do everything you ask them to? Do they pick up their toys or their dirty clothes off the floor? Do they love you just the way you want? Or do you long for them to change, even just a little bit? You see, we're never satisfied. People and things will let us down and leave us longing for something more or better. What if I told you that our deep longing for love and acceptance for exactly who we are can be met fully and forever? I'm going to have a look on your piece of paper and introduce you to a woman in the Bible who meets Jesus. She's a woman who I resonate with. Her story is very different from mine, yet her deepest longing is for love and acceptance. She longs to be loved for exactly who she is. So this story is in John's biography of Jesus' life. And Jesus is on a journey with his followers. He's come to a town in Samaria and stopped to rest next to a well at midday. I'm going to pick up the story from verse 7, which is your third paragraph there. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus is tired and thirsty, so he's asked this woman for a drink. This may not seem surprising to us, but this woman is shocked. She's shocked because this Jewish man is speaking to her. You see, not only do men not speak to women in public, but this is a Jewish man speaking to her, a Samaritan. She's a woman and she's a half-caste Jew. The Samaritans intermarried with other nations several hundred years before, and so they're despised by the Jewish people. Jews don't associate with Samaritans. Yet Jesus, a Jewish man, is speaking to her, a Samaritan woman. But there's more to her surprise. You see, she's gone out in the middle of the day to the well to draw water. She's gone out when no one else goes out. She's trying to avoid the time with everybody else, when they go in the morning or the evening when it's cool. But she doesn't want to deal with what other people think of her. But today, she's gone to the well, and there's a Jewish man speaking to her. Let's keep going. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Well, I'm pretty sure this woman thinks Jesus is a bit crazy. He asked her for a drink and then tells her that he can give her one. He doesn't even have a container to draw water with. But Jesus has offered living water. So let's see what he means. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Well, we know what it means to be thirsty and to have our thirst quenched by water. But it's only temporary, isn't it? We'll get thirsty again. But we can go to the tap and just get some more. But for this woman, it's a daily struggle to get water. It's like our farmers and dealing with the drought and the daily struggle to get enough water for their livestock and crops. So this water that Jesus is offering sounds pretty good to the woman. How good would it be if she didn't have to come out every day to draw water? If she didn't have a daily reminder when she comes out in the heat of the day of how despised she is? But Jesus is offering something different to regular water. Jesus is using water as a metaphor, an image for our spiritual thirst, our deepest longing. Jesus is saying he can fulfill her deep longing fully and forever. But how? How can he know her deepest longing? Well, the story continues. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming to you to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Wow, how would you feel if someone you've just met exposed your deepest shame? It's now we learn why the woman comes out in the middle of the day. She's not just a Samaritan woman despised by the Jews. She's despised by her own people. And now this man she just met has exposed her deepest shame. How would you feel? But Jesus' attitude to her must be compelling because she's not put off. Here she is, a Samaritan woman who's had numerous relationships, despised by her own people, longing to be loved and accepted for who she is. She meets this man who she expected to reject her from the outset. But not only has he talked to her, but he knows her deepest shame and still talks to her. And he's offering her a gift that sounds too good to be true. The woman wants to know more. Who is this guy? Did you notice she's gone through this whole conversation without knowing who she's speaking to? Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. So she realised this guy is no ordinary man. He must be a prophet, someone from God, because he knows her past. So she questions him. She knows the Jews say you can only really worship God in Jerusalem. But she wants to know if she, a Samaritan, can be accepted. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Jesus reveals who he is, the one both Jews and Samaritans have been waiting for, longing for. Jesus explains, it doesn't matter where you worship, it matters who you worship. Jesus is offering her eternal life, love and acceptance from God fully and forever. God who knows exactly who she is and what she's done. This is an amazing and surprising offer. This woman has been searching for, longing for love and acceptance. And here's Jesus saying that God came to seek her. Jesus' offer of living water is an offer of love and acceptance from God fully and forever. So how does this woman respond? I think this is really surprising. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? This woman is so convinced of what Jesus has to offer that she goes back to the people who despise her and call them to come and hear Jesus. She's not afraid of the people anymore. She's found what she's been looking for. She's found love and acceptance from someone who knows everything she ever did. And she's been offered love and acceptance for who she is, so she has confidence and a longing for others to hear. What about us? I said at the beginning of this talk that I resonate with this woman's longings. I haven't had five husbands, but my deepest longing is for love and acceptance for exactly who I am. And that's what I found in Jesus. God knows me better than I know myself, yet he chose to love me and accept me for who I am. He chose to send Jesus to explain it and make it possible, fully and forever. Well, let's see how the townspeople respond to this woman. They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the saviour of the world. Well, many of the townspeople believed. They accepted Jesus' offer of love and acceptance. They believed in Jesus and received living water, love and acceptance, fully and forever. And Jesus' offer is for us too. This woman wanted everyone to meet Jesus. The friend who invited you today wants everyone to meet Jesus. They want you to meet Jesus. Is it worth finding out if Jesus could be the one who could love and accept you too?